Eddie and Miss Simpson by Roger Davenport, with Anton Rogers as Eddie and Carol Boyd as Miss Simpson.
Morning.
Morning, sir. Nice one, isn't it?
I'm Young Joy Toy.
Long title with a face like yours. No offence.
You don't carry a mini line, I believe.
No, we don't.
Oh, my car.
Hamilton. Matter of fact, we don't carry any of your stuff.
Oh, well, in that case...
It's too expensive, you see.
You're joking, aren't you? Give us back the car, then. I haven't got many left. Young Joy Toys.
What?
Toys, Young Joy Toys.
Old-fashioned, I believe. We are stocked through my brother-in-law, who supplies direct. Under fives is our only category.
Well, just look at this catapult.
Do you take me for a hooligan?
Young Joy Toys.
So it's a fiver.
Young Joy Toys.
Not very persuasive, are you?
Young Joy Toys. Hello?
Good evening, Eddie.
Oh, hello, Shirley.
I didn't want to call you, but, well, you know what it is.
The maintenance is on its way, no worries.
Have you been drinking?
No, I just poured one, but I'm tired, that's all.
Alan's here. He'd like a word.
Yes?
I'll put him on. Hello, Dad?
Hello, son. How goes it?
Great. I made the team.
Oh, that's good. All right, pretty good, all things considered. You working hard?
Oh, yes, every now and then.
That's good. Make sure it's more now than then, will you? Where do you want to go?
Oh, Dad, it's 3 weeks away.
I know, but it's
I'll call you, all right. Here's Mum. So, about how long? I'm sorry if it's a bother.
Oh, no bother. 2 or 3 days, not much more. Solemn promise.
Thanks, Eddie. You're a good man.
Yes. Night, night, Shirley.
Night, Eddie.
I don't think we're unhappy with you, Eddie. You meet your targets, by and large. It's only that, as you know, we look for more. We've an above-quota sales force here, and we like our representatives to enjoy their work. It's basically a question of motivation.
You don't have to worry on that score, Mr. Stapleton.
No, of course not. I simply wondered if, well, you needed a refresher, something to get the system going. We happen to have some options on a body language course. What? I don't need to tell you of the importance of that skill these days.
That's not for me, thanks. I'm as broad-minded as the next man, but I find it difficult to keep my arms in an open position while looking someone directly in the eye, keeping my legs apart.
The point is, if you don't pull your socks up, you'll be on your bike.
Bit of a mixed metaphor, Mr. Stapleton.
What? Oh, yes. Off you go, then. Good hunting.
Yes?
Mr. Hamilton.
That's me.
My name is Elizabeth Simpson. I'm sorry to trouble you. May I come in?
Why?
I'm in trouble.
I'll see the police. Or a doctor.
Mr. Hamilton, I really do need help.
I'm sorry. Well, come in if you're going to. I was having a drink. Would you,
No. No, thanks. May I sit down?
If you like. Is this going to take long? Oh, hang on. There you go.
Oh, thank you. I don't quite know where to start.
Well, you could begin by telling me why you chose to ring the bell of my particular two up and two down among all the hundreds in this great city.
Oh, yes. Well, you're a private detective, aren't you?
Was. I lost my license.
Yes, I know.
So? How can a not very successful salesman help you?
I was thinking of more of your previous existence. I need a private detective.
Do you?
I'm trying to trace someone. My sister, her husband and their little girl.
Fine. Put an ad in the papers, contact the police, ring your sister's home 10 times a day and try every lost property office you can find in the Yellow Pages. Now you owe me a fiver.
It's a bit more complicated than that.
Well, then get a bona fide detective service to help you. My old firm can help you out. Pricey, no guarantees of success, but honest. That's why I'm no longer in that line of business, as you probably know.
From what I gather, you only had the misfortune to come up against the 11th commandment, thou shalt not be caught. The point is, the job I have in mind might require someone of your particular talents.
Well, what do you mean by that?
You're not making this easy for me. Someone who can, well, who can take care of himself. You had quite a reputation in the army. You were in the paratroop division for a time.
Yes, but only for national service.
But they offered you the real thing if you wanted it. I heard about you by chance through a Major Crabtree. He said you had real promise, but for some reason you wanted to leave.
The reason was I'm strictly a man of peace. Whatever the army offers you in the way of travel, sports and all that, at the end of the day you have to be prepared to kill someone.
Oh, I wouldn't want you to kill anyone.
Oh, that's lucky.
But I think this job might well need someone who could take care of himself more than adequately.
If that's supposed to be bait, this fish isn't interested. I am unlicensed. I've done time. And I'm a cautious man these days. You wouldn't be getting an American-style private eye. You'd be getting me. Tell me, would you buy meat from a butcher who had most of his fingers missing?
I suppose not.
Well, that's me as a private eye. Sure you won't have a drink?
No, it's very kind of you.
Right. On your way, then. I wish you luck. Oh, one question. How did you find me?
Through this major. Then your old firm, then Young Joy Toys. Oh, can't I even tell you...
What you don't hear can't hurt you, Mrs. Simpson.
It's Miss. Good night.
You place gold on my finger.
You know, I was tempted, Chalky.
Don't blame you. Nice looking piece, you say?
Had a lot. Nice figure, lovely warm brown eyes. Wrong side of 30, but if she were a second-hand car for sale, the description would be immaculate.
Mileage?
Well, don't get mucky. It wasn't her or the prospect of something to put in the bank so much as the idea of, I don't know, doing something real about people, not commodities.
Mm. I've done nothing except divorces the whole year.
Yeah. Sordid, isn't it?
Ah, listen, forget human interest. Human beings are interested in money or sex. I don't know which comes first. And that's what we deal with. You'll probably find she's just trying to get the dirt on someone. That's what we do, right? Well, you used to say that's what we do best. Life isn't romantic, Eddie. It's dog eat dog.
Don't tell me. I think an Alsatian's already halfway through my left leg. Remember, Chalky? The criminal and the private detective have one thing in common. They hate any dog they haven't trained.
Well, I'd better be off.
Our trouble, Chalky, is that it's a different world these days.
Ah, don't you believe it. It's the same world, only different telephone numbers.
I'll give you a call. See you.
Yeah, see you later, Eddie.
Ride your luck.
Ride your luck.
Mr. Hamilton, I'm sorry to trouble you.
You have an advantage on me. I've forgotten your name.
Simpson. Elizabeth Simpson.
Hello again, Mrs. Simpson.
Miss Simpson.
My apologies. Goodbye.
I wondered if you'd had second thoughts.
No, too busy. Now, if you'll excuse me, this is my car and I'm driving to...
I don't care where. I'll come with you. I can always get a taxi back.
How did you find me this time? Don't tell me you rang my boss.
Yes, I took a chance. They said that if you were around, you might be in the mitre.
Predictable. That's me. Well, I'm off to Sunbury-on-Thames. If you want to come with me, hop in.
Are we going to talk, or are you just going to drive?
I'll drive. You talk.
You do have a way of making things difficult.
We can talk about that, if you like.
Mr. Hamilton, do you have a family?
Yes. No. Depends what you mean. I'm divorced.
Any children?
I have a son.
I don't have any close family connections except my sister. And I suppose my brother-in-law.
You don't sound very certain about that.
I'm not doing very well, am I? My sister and brother-in-law have vanished. I've no idea where they are, or their little girl.
Absent without leave, are they?
You could put it that way. I've sent them a great deal of money, but I haven't heard from them since. I sent them £20,000. It was nearly all I had.
Oh, dear.
Are you interested now?
A touch. Why did you give them your life savings?
I had to sell my flat to get that.
That was silly, wasn't it?
Well, how would you feel if you found that the only child near to you, that the person you loved above everyone else in the world... How would you feel if you found she's disappeared without trace with parents who were possibly criminals?
Criminals? Now, one thing at a time. I assume you've asked all the logical people the logical questions, like when did they leave, where to, and so on.
Sorry, what logical people?
Well, neighbours, business associates, friends.
Oh, yes. Well, no one knows a thing. The last time anyone saw Martin and the family, he was leaving for work. That would be 2 days before I got the first call. He never arrived. It's hardly surprising the neighbours don't know anything. It's a very select area, Weybridge. Large detached houses with their own drives. The funny thing is, it wasn't till I started asking questions that I realised I'd never actually met any of his friends. Now I'm not sure I want to.
What do you mean?
A year ago, Veronica, my sister, told me she was worried about Martin. She thought he might... Well, he might have been up to something illegal. He's very ambitious, I knew that, but I couldn't believe he'd do anything that might hurt his family. Now I don't know.
How well did you know your brother-in-law?
We always got on. I saw them often. He's pleasant, successful, he runs a good business, an ideal family man, you could say. Then, 6 weeks ago, Veronica called me. I could hardly make head or tail of what she was saying. She was nearly hysterical, but the upshot was that she was convinced that Martin was up to something that could land him in jail.
When your brother-in-law, Martin, asked you for the money, what was your immediate response?
Well, I was horrified. Most of all, though, I was worried about Sophie, the little girl. She's only six.
How did he get in touch? What did he say?
He rang to say...
Where from?
I wish to God I knew. He said he was in serious trouble and that he needed a loan of £20,000. I wasn't to sell a soul, otherwise Sophie could be put in danger.
So you sold up and paid out £20,000? Really? How did you send him the money?
I sent it to a post office box number in Leicester. He was almost threatening on the phone. It wasn't like him. He asked me to send the money in cash.
And you did?
Yes.
You asked no questions?
Well, he didn't give me a chance. He hung up. I didn't know what to do, so I...
I see. Out.
What?
We stop this right here. Out.
I'll pay whatever you ask.
Making a habit of that, aren't you?
Money isn't the point.
Just what is the point? Sex? Violence? Call the police and leave me alone.
Listen to me, you bastard. You're separated or divorced or whatever. Do you love your son?
I do, yes.
Well, Sophie is my daughter. I want her back. Oh, God, I want her back.
Hold your horses. It's a long time since I made a pass at a pretty woman. And how'd you like a cup of tea?
I'm sorry to have been so silly.
Understandable. You can't blame me, though. 20,000 is a considerable sum to give away unless you've got a very good reason.
Well, I suppose you'd say Sophie was a mistake, a wonderful mistake. Her father was no good. He didn't want any part of it, and I refused to have an abortion. Martin and Veronica were superb at that time. They couldn't have children of their own, and they could offer Sophie so much more than I could. He owns two jewellery shops, and he was hoping to expand. It seemed the perfect solution until now.
You have to go to the police. Why haven't you?
Well, at first I was willing to do exactly what Martin asked, for Sophie's sake rather than for him or my sister. I still trusted Martin, with Sophie at least, and I couldn't bear the thought of her being in any kind of trouble if I could do anything about it.
What happened then? Total silence from Martin?
Yes, for a month. And then he must have traced me because he phoned. Well, I'm staying in the cheapest hotel I could find. I took the phone call in the hall. I remember there was a couple sitting there listening. I couldn't say much. He said he needed a further £15,000. Of course I couldn't manage it. But I didn't tell him that because he said, no police or I'll start to send you little pieces of what you love best.
Your sister wouldn't let him, surely.
How would I know? I don't even know if she went with him of her own free will. Of course, I'll go to the police eventually. I've no option. But if there's any chance of getting in touch with Martin and Veronica, simply to talk to them without involving the police, well, for all our sakes, that's what I'd rather do.
You can't care whether or not Martin goes to prison now.
No. But I do care desperately about Sophie and about my sister. Martin's a total stranger to me now.
What was your idea when you found me?
He gave me a deadline for the money. What I want from you, is 7 days. That's all. Before I tell the police and endanger Sophie's life. That's all. Just a week. The police would still have 10 days then to find her. Besides, Martin may get in touch again. I need a friend as much as a private detective.
You're risking more than I'd care to in your shoes. It could take me, or the police, a whole 17 days to trace them.
Yes, I know. It's a gamble. Still, if you could find them, Sophie would be in far less danger than if the police mounted a search.
He didn't tell you why he needed the money?
He hardly told me anything.
Well, at least we know he's still in the country. Oh, by the way, Miss Simpson, how is it you picked me for this? I forget.
I told you. Major Crabtree.
Ah.
He said you had all the qualities I was looking for. I put it as a hypothetical question, of course.
Very hypothetical. I called your Major Crabtree this morning. He remembered me, all right. But he'd never heard of you.
I'd better tell you the truth, hadn't I? I didn't want to put you off, but right from the start, I knew I had to find someone with criminal connections, but also someone I could trust. I spent 2 days going through the papers until I found you. Private eye put away, disowned by the profession. Major Crabtree got a small mention in one article, and he did give you a tremendous character reference. Someone outside the law must have known what Martin was up to, whatever it was. I couldn't tell you I wanted to hire you because
I was an ex-con, a common criminal.
Not that.
No. It's not every criminal who gets sent down for selling a formula for pork pies to a rival manufacturer. What a farce.
Why did you get involved?
Well, a very few unscrupulous and some quite scrupulous private detectives pick up a bob on jobs like that. I was caught, that's all.
Do you know any criminals?
In 2 years. Oh, yes. I formed a few friendships. Some villains are very likable.
Will you help me, Mr. Hamilton?
If I trace your brother-in-law and his wife, and you don't have any luck with them, and if the forces of law and order get your child out unharmed, we'll tell the police?
We'll tell them? You mean you...
Time of life. I must be madder than you. Well, will you?
Yes, of course. You don't know what this means to me. Oh, where do we go from here?
We drive to where you're living. Then to my place, go through everything you know. I'll need photos and money as soon as you can get it. Cash. Information can be dear. Now, how are you off for money?
I've got about 4,000 in there.
I'll need 1,000 for a float, then there are my fees.
Yes, of course. You just name your price.
Well, say 100 a day. Expenses come extra. There'll be a lot of those. Since we've only got 7 days, you shouldn't go into the red. Oh, one thing. If at any point I decide to tell the police, then that's what we'll do.
Right. Yes. Yes, that's fair.
Just plain good sense. Come on, let's go. As your employee, I'm now requesting you to pay for the tea.
That's the third time I've told you.
Yes. We deserve a drink.
Oh, good. This time I will.
Scotch? That's all there is. And water.
Fine. So, where do we stand?
Same place. Nowhere. What you knew was a well-to-do, happy family, and that's what I know now.
Well, what's the next step?
Take a look at the house. Go through it top to bottom. That may mean breaking an entry. We haven't got much time. Here.
Thanks. I've got a key. It was so nice. Said I should feel part of the family because of Sophie.
Well, that's her first break. I'll need a lookout. That's you.
Can we go tomorrow? It's midnight. I've just about had it.
Yes, I'm pretty bush myself. Early, though. 5 o'clock, suit you? You can sleep here if you like. I'll take the sofa.
No, I'll go back to the digs and freshen up. That way we can both get some proper rest.
All right. You're going to need all the sleep you can get over the next few days. Won't be a lot, I can promise you that.
Well?
One step forward, two steps back. I found a safe in the bedroom, open and empty. That tells me one thing. They left directly from the house and in a hurry. Otherwise, well, a normal house. Very nice, too. Only no check cards, credit cards, no address book. Like they were taking a holiday. Why don't you stay there? You've got a key?
I couldn't. What if he came back?
You better pray that he does. This isn't getting any easier. Still, early days. I'll keep the key for the time being. I may go back sometime. There's something there that doesn't smell quite right. Something that's not as it should be. I can't place it. Come on, then.
I'll start the legwork this morning. We'll meet at my place later and go over what I've got, if anything.
Right.
I'll give you a call. We'll get somewhere soon, don't worry.
Thanks, Mr. Hamilton.
Look, since we're going to be seeing something of each other over the next few days, you may as well call me Eddie.
And I'm Elizabeth. Thanks, Eddie.
You've no cause to thank me yet.
Perhaps not, but thanks anyway.
Oh, Inspector Wilkins, is it now? Yes, it is a personal call.
Hello?
Oh.
Is that a person from the past?
I hear they haven't passed you over, then.
I've had to work for it. How's it with you?
I lead a quiet life. Green vegetables, brown rice, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the day. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm thinking of doing some business. Very legal business. With a gentleman who doesn't, what shall I say, quite ring true.
Yes?
Yeah. I can't afford any trouble. And since you were the one who sent me down, I thought you might feel you owed me a little something.
What do you want to know?
I have a chance to invest a little of the little that I've got in a jewellery business run by a Mr. Martin Roberts.
Uh-huh.
He's got a shop in London, Islington, and one out in Surrey. Seemed nice enough, but you can't be too careful in my position. Could you check the files?
Casa Grande?
I'd like a word with Mr. Jacob Krzyzewski, please.
Ooh, busy man. Name?
Hamilton. No, tell him Fast Eddie.
Oh, Mr. Krzyzewski?
What is it?
There's an Eddie Hamilton on the phone. Do you want to speak to him?
Okay, I'll take it. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Jake.
In trouble?
No.
Want to talk?
Yes.
Drop by at 6.
It's important.
6 o'clock. I hate to talk on a bad line. Know what I mean? I'll see you at 6 sharp.
Thanks.
He's away. He won't be back for a couple of months or longer.
Oh, like that, is it? Tell him I'm sorry. Shall I, then?
You could try old Andrew off the Mile End Road. He deals with all sorts. Tell him I sent you.
No, don't know him. Has he got an AKA?
I don't know.
You tell me there'll be no GBH, and I'm serious, that the old Bill ain't interested and won't be, I might ask around.
Don't. It's a personal matter.
What's my piece?
5 for your time now. 20 if you come up with it.
Not many millionaires left, are there?
It's only time that's due to me.
It is, however. How shall I put it? A rather unpropitious time to take leave.
Mr. Stapleton, I'm stale. I need the break. You'll see the difference in results when I get back.
I hope so. A week, then. Goodbye.
A week? That's all I wanted. Just a bloody... Hello?
Charles Wilkins. You're a hard man to pin down, Eddie. That hasn't changed.
Did you get anything?
Yes. I'd steer clear of Roberts if you want to keep your nose clean.
Oh, yes? Con man, is he?
Possibly. Been in 3 times for questioning. No joy.
Oh, dear, that's all I needed to know. Lay off, then, you'd advise.
In your position, yes. Sorry, Eddie.
Well, it's lucky I checked. What was the suspicion?
A diamond merchant's courier got ripped off in Esher. Almost literally lost his hand with a briefcase. Very nasty.
Oh. And Roberts was in the business and in the area, doing rather too well, perhaps.
Yeah, that's so... about it. He came out clean, but reading between the lines, the reporting officer was sorry to lose him. We had him in twice last year. Description tallied with that of a man who was involved in 3 armed robberies on refrigerator vans. Furs. No shooting. All beautifully planned. Again, clean as the driven snow. Outraged. Thing is, all those crimes are still on the books, so leave it out, Eddie, this time.
Thanks, Charles.
I don't have to remind you how delicate your situation is, do I?
What are you talking about?
Well, those crimes haven't been cracked, Eddie. Something of a coincidence, I felt, given your background. Investigative, not criminal, of course.
Coincidences happen. I'm an ex-PI, all right? You should know better than anyone.
Oh, I do, Eddie, I do. Just keep it that way till you're told different, will you?
I've made a cup of tea. Want one?
Oh, thanks. Might help to keep me awake.
Sugar?
Oh, no thanks. Well, Eddie?
I got nothing door to door. It's worse than being a salesman, this part of it.
Hmm.
Like pounding the beat. Anyway, there is some news. Take a deep breath. I rang a sort of friend. He's a policeman.
Oh. And?
I had to find out, had Martin got a record? Might give us a lead if he had.
And has he?
Not yet. But I got the impression they've been keeping a casual eye on him. Not too seriously. They obviously don't know he's left home. The field is still ours, and I wish it wasn't.
I don't. Not with my daughter's life at risk.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Well, I am. Police procedure could get Sophie killed, whereas you...
Could get myself killed. Oh, thank you. I'm not action man, you know.
You're my action man for a week. I trust you, Eddie.
Well, that's a help. What are your plans?
I'm so tired, I can hardly stand. Oh. I didn't want to take a sleeping pill in case you called and I was out to the world.
How'd you like to meet a real villain?
What?
A likable, dangerous, solid platinum villain.
What I'd really like to do is sleep, right here and now.
It's all yours.
Where are you going?
I told you, I'm going to meet a friend of mine.
Can I really sleep here?
Well, the sheets are clean, but if you won't take my word for it, there's always the sofa.
I'll take your word. I'll be here when you get back. Where are you going, Eddie?
It's a restaurant, among other things, called the Casa Grande.
Mr. Krzyzewski will be down any time. He likes to rest before the evening starts. He's not as young as he was, though I wouldn't say that to his face. Age makes people sensitive, don't you find? You'd have thought the opposite would be true.
Yeah. Nice place.
When your overheads are high, there's no point in skimping on the decor. Well, that's what Mr. Krzyzewski says. You a gambling man?
Not until a day or so ago, I wasn't.
Oh, here he is. Evening, sir.
Well, well, Eddie Hamilton. Oh, you're looking grey. Never lost the prison pallor, is that it?
I haven't been back inside.
Of course you haven't. I keep an eye on the welfare of my friends. But you're down on your luck, yes?
Maybe luck's down on me. It doesn't matter. I don't feel a thing.
Oh, that's like you. Always reversing the argument. Tid, shake hands with Eddie Hamilton.
Pleased to meet you.
Eddie moved faster than you could imagine when I needed a fast mover. Don't like knives, even when they're homemade. Take a good look at him, Titch. Either way, he's someone to remember. Good friend, bad enemy. Memorize him. But don't destroy him until I tell you to.
Will do, sir.
Come on then, Eddie. We'll have a glass in the smallest room in the house. My office, that is.
Right. Nice to meet you.
Oh, mutual.
This way, Eddie. Help yourself. Plenty of scotch. I get my stimulation in tablet form these days. No variety in life. That's what makes us old folk unhappy. Just different colored pills in ever-increasing doses. I haven't got much time, Eddie. What do you want?
I want to find this man. Martin Roberts.
Is this business or personal?
Business for me, personal for my client.
Oh, you're a depressing friend to have, Eddie. Got your license back? No. Are you going to tell me everything you know? Of course not. But what are friends for? What are you going to tell me?
I think he's done a few jobs, maybe one in his own line of business, jewelry. And he's left his house. The business is on the back of the photo.
Oh. Repro. Get a lot of these done?
Some.
Saturating the market. In a hurry, then. Oh, very risky, Eddie. Perhaps I can help you. You might do yourself a favor if you started at the Intercontinental Billiards Club, Houston. Terrible place. High ceilings and too many tables. Spend a night there, you might hit lucky. The trades stay late. Can you play?
I can get by.
It'll cost you.
I'll manage.
I wouldn't offer you money, Eddie, unless the circumstances were exceptional. You know that. But if you try the tables tonight, I can almost guarantee a small profit.
So I'm back at my trade and you're back at yours. No worries about raids?
Do you think I own this place, Eddie? Look at this pokey office.
Soundproofed. I won't break the bank tonight, Jake.
Ah, a relief to me. Another time.
Thanks. Oh, my card.
Young Joy Toys. Oh, what a front. Titch will see you out. Oh, one thing, Eddie, and I know I shouldn't say it. Don't mess me around.
What's that?
Not what, me. Oh. Sorry I woke you. I'm putting the light on.
Oh. What are you doing?
Believe it or not, going out. I've come to collect that indispensable item, the trench coat. In my case, the voyeur's mat.
How did it go?
I think we're getting warmer, but within a few short, very long, but not many hours, I have, in the old phrase, become compromised. Polarized is the popular phrase.
Are you drunk?
You sound like my wife. No, very tired. With drink taken.
Are you crying off, Eddie?
I'll give it 2 days. Then I'll open the books to everyone.
Where are you going now?
To the Intercontinental Billiards Club in Euston. That was a tip from the top, so I have to go.
I'm sorry you're fed up.
Oh, don't worry. You look good there. Know that?
And that is 27. You won't catch me now.
Not needing snookers, I won't.
Anyway, you didn't come down to win any trophies. You came to talk, right? Now, there's a man, that fella in the mohair suit, just come in by the bar. That's Jeff Harrison. He plays good snooker, pool, whatever you like, but he doesn't win enough. And he talks too much. You get my meaning? That boy you're looking for?
That's it. I'm not a policeman, by the way, should you be concerned.
Oh, we know that. Well, good luck, fella. You've got a good eye, but you don't think ahead, if you get my meaning.
Yeah, that's been said before.
Yeah, you finish your game, Pete?
Yeah, all right.
Come on.
Large Bacardi and Coke. £2.20, Jeff.
I'm in the chair for this one, Jeff.
Yeah? It was a treble, as it happens, Ernie.
Oh, all right. Shove in another. Good to meet you, Mr. Harrison.
Yeah.
Eddie Hamilton. Oh, and a small scotch in here, please. They say you're good. Are you playing tonight?
Not necessarily.
Well, have a couple of drinks on me first.
Yeah, if you like. I play better when I steady down.
Well, that's all right, then.
There's a table by the door over there.
Treble Bacardi, Coke, Scotch, £3.90.
Thanks. That's £3.350,
Watch it!
Pardon, I do beg your pardon.
Where were we? £3.60, I'll forget it. Oh. Here, keep the change.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much.
There you go.
Ah, good on you. You nearly lost it at the bar, didn't you?
Would have broken my heart at these prices.
I'm with you there. Cheers.
Chin chin. Mm.
You played yet?
Yeah.
I got done over.
Yeah, how much have I got on me? 12. You match it?
No, I don't think so. I'll give you 10 for your time. Plus the drink, you've doubled up already. That's if you can help me.
So you're not looking for a game?
No, a man. Him.
What if I tell you a fib?
I'll break your arm, that kind of thing.
I'm only asking. Well, you're in luck. A smooth talker, but not the Queen's English?
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I talked to him at the Aringay track. Had a friendly run-in with a couple of boys who should have been in blue. No trouble, naturally. Next thing up he comes and wants to talk about paying for my services.
What was his name?
Yeah, well, we didn't get that far. He was looking for a driver. I told him no.
Why?
He wouldn't specify a vehicle.
Did you put him onto anyone else?
Nope. I'll keep my nose clean these days. Play some snooker, travel the country, keep moving, that's the idea.
Anything you noticed about him?
He was a new one on me.
What was he wearing?
Clothes? I don't remember.
Can you remember any of what he said, his precise words?
No. Blah, blah, good rates, blah. Then I asked him what the motor was and he wouldn't say, so I turned him down flat and he's off like a shot.
Off like a shot? Did he seem angry, worried, or what?
He just walked away fast, that's all.
Look, I'll give you my number in case you hear anything.
It'll cost you if I do, but I won't.
There's your 10.
You're all art, aren't you?
Don't spend it all at once.
Pretty quick, buddy. Why are you quitting?
Because you've got a gun pointed at me. It was you bumped into me at the bar, wasn't it?
A keen mind, also.
Well?
Well, now. I'm here, plenty wet, and getting wetter than I desire by the minute, to tell you that your curiosity about a certain man is of interest to me.
Yes? We haven't been introduced, have we? Not formally, that is.
Oh, sassy. buddy where I come from, the man with a gun tends to ask the questions, and the man without the gun, why, he answers in a decorous, orderly manner. You don't have a gun. That's what I was checking at the bar. So speak out. And by the way, this gun has a silencer, as you will observe, which decreases accuracy some, but I can guarantee a leg shot from this distance.
Martin Roberts owes me money.
It surely is good to be aware of that. I don't believe you, but it is a start. What was your connection in the first instance?
I'm a salesman. We were talking business over a game of cards. He lost. I haven't been able to find him since. He didn't pay up.
I tell you, that sounds like the man I know. Our predicament is that I wish to ascertain his location quicker than anybody else in this world. And your presence in the action is, you better believe it, it is an irritation. And I tend to strike out when riled.
You don't have to worry about me. I'll drop the matter. I'm no hero.
An entirely decorous, orderly response. And I still don't believe you. Empty your pockets.
You won't have a chance.
The way I see it, I can trace you quick that way. No problem with untruths should you fall prey to the temptation. Just drop your ID like it was your pants. The way I see it, you have to be made to feel as small as you are. Understand the truth of it, which is don't play with the big boys, for they will put you behind the eight ball every time. Right. Now be real smart. Yeah. Turn around nice and slow, taking due precaution not to raise your voice above a respectful silence. As an indication of my entirely impartial attitude, your possessions will return to you. But you have to understand that your investigations will cease as of now. As a further gesture... pleasure to do business with you.
Eddie, is that you?
No. It's the milkman. Oh.
Oh. Eddie, you look terrible.
Thank you. Have you had any visitors?
No. Who do you mean?
A big chap, American. He had my business card, a lot, for enough time to... No callers, then.
No, but your boss rang just after you left.
Stapleton?
He wants you to call him first thing in the morning. It's urgent.
Oh, no, that's all I need.
You're not walking too well. You better sit down.
Yeah. Body punch, just off center. The back of my head is more of a problem.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Blunt instrument. One thing, it didn't mark me too badly. A cosmetic beating, you could say.
Someone else trying to scare you off?
Bullseye. He won't do it, though. There comes a tide in the affairs of men, whatever it is, when I get angry. Perhaps not a frightening sight, a salesman losing his rag, but...
Sit back, don't talk. I'll clean you up.
Oh, the ministering hand of an angel.
I'm just trying to make you look human again.
I feel more animal. Or probably vegetable.
And then we'll have a cup of coffee and I'll call the police.
No, you won't. As I see it, we're caught up in something bigger than you ever imagined. Number one, whatever the job was your brother-in-law pulled, he has aroused interest, some possibly transatlantic. Two, violence is involved, perhaps at every level. So we're well outside acceptable limits. The acceptable face of small-time crime, say. On the other hand, reversing the argument, as it were, the more bother there is, the more that's stirred up and the more information that may surface. And now I've got a headache.
Eddie, look, the best thing surely is...
Now, look, just listen. Trust me. I wouldn't ask you to if I didn't believe I could help you. I may still give up yet. And now I'm tired. I ache all over. I'm going to bed.
But, Eddie, for goodness...
Bed. We'll talk in the morning.
Stapleton.
Teddy, you wanted to speak to me.
Oh, yes, thanks for calling. I wondered, could you pop in for a moment this morning? I wouldn't normally ask this of you when you're on holiday, but this is something quite exceptional. Well, just let me say that Mr. Jacob Krucheski is here. He arrived first thing and would like a word.
Krucheski?
Hmm.
Yes, I'll be with you in a minute. Well, say about three quarters of an hour.
Oh, thanks, Eddie.
Fine. That's fair.
Morning, Susie.
Morning, Mr. Hamilton.
Eddie, there you are. Good to see you. Glad to see you. Mr. Krucheski's in my office.
Oh, right.
I'd just like to say, Eddie, how much we all appreciate this. I know our schedules are demanding, and as you know, they have to be.
Still, sometimes it needs a special kind of man to break the mould. As far as this office is concerned, you're not taking a holiday. You're on the job. You're a dark horse, Eddie. Now, Mr. Krzyzewski's waiting, Ivor. I've laid on the real coffee.
Oh, let's go on through, shall we?
Yes, yes, of course. Susie, route all calls elsewhere, will you? Got him for you, Mr. Krzyzewski. Better late than never. Hello, Eddie.
Hello.
Now, why don't we all get on to first-name terms? Sure you won't have some coffee, Eddie? Coffee?
No, thanks.
Mr. Stapleton, it's very good of you to give me the use of your office. Perhaps you could leave Eddie and me to tie up some loose ends.
But there aren't any, surely.
Future loose ends, I should say.
Future? Oh, yes, future. Yes, yes, silly of me. Now, take all the time you want, Eddie. And, Mr. Krzyzewski, I'll be in the outer office if you want me. Take your time.
What is it, Jake?
It's serious, Eddie.
Yes?
Your firm is now better off to the tune of some £7,000.
Oh, yes. The famous first.
A friend of mine has recently, just now, in fact, placed an order for a considerable quantity of the farmyard animals that talk back.
Not an easy line to sell.
No. Looks like rubbish to me. You could become a very lonely figure, Eddie.
I'm working on it.
That's it, you see. You're working too hard. It is more generous to receive than to give, Eddie. I sincerely trust you can take that lesson to heart.
Forget the lesson. What's the catch?
No catch. I just want you to be a successful salesman, Eddie, that's all. Then you'd be a busy man and you wouldn't ask awkward questions about people like Martin Roberts. After we met, I placed a few calls for you. Would you regard this as neutral territory?
No one's going to listen in, if that's what you mean.
Right. Eddie, I'm semi-retired, as you know, but I like to keep in touch. Mr. Roberts has stimulated interest among some very special friends. In particular, there's a young man with many diversified interests. Sells glass, among other things. Known to some as the glazier. Heard of him?
No.
He'll be pleased to hear that. He doesn't court public attention. Who's employing you?
I can't tell you that.
My debt to you is paid in full if I don't choose to press that point, understand?
Yes.
Very well, the slate is clean. As a friend, debt forgotten, what do you know about this man Roberts?
He's a villain on a small scale with a good front who's gone missing.
That's it?
That's it.
When you get to a certain age, Eddie, you have to hang on to the friends you've got because you're unlikely to make many more new ones. As a friend, I can tell you that Roberts has been very naughty. He's an amateur, and the glazier and a number of other important people would like to talk to him because he has exceeded his status. Follow me?
I think so.
Good man. What do you know about the so-called SAS robbery?
Dear Lord.
Precisely so. Major job outside Southampton in the early hours, 2 months ago. Anti-personnel weapon and other highly sophisticated arms used on vehicles, one of which was carrying 3 million worth of gold bullion. One temporary survivor. Know what he said?
The papers I read didn't mention any survivors.
Just checking. He didn't reach the media, who were left to conjecture about terrorist activities in their home counties. Before he died, the guard said that one of the gang was a tall American who called an associate Yogi as they shifted the stuff. Any bells ringing? Now, Martin Roberts was involved in furs dealing, knocking off refrigerator vans. Only a couple, but smooth operations, enough to earn him the nickname of Yogi Bear in certain circles. Get it? Armed robbery at its best. Not a shot fired. The glazier provided him with arms and a driver at a very steep rate. He also fenced the goods. So far, everyone's happy, and the glazier's pleased to see official attention diverted from his own antisocial activities. But a big number like that gold,
No consultation. Extreme violence. The goods vanishing underground. They haven't surfaced even now. That is a different matter. Makes people look bad. Activates considerable pressure from the law. Trouble for everyone.
Why fill me in on this?
Eddie, hands off. Roberts is headed for a touch of unofficial capital punishment. So is the American gentleman. You were seen at the bar last night with someone who could have been the American. Perhaps a coincidence. Anything to say?
This big bloke bumped into me. That's all there was in it.
You're lucky it's me who's asking the questions. Now you owe me a favor, yeah? We reckon it was a three-man job. Roberts, the American, and the driver. Neither the American nor the driver is known to us. That's upsetting. And we want them for the same reason we want Roberts. The gold is important, too. But at the end of the day, it's a sober reaction to unnecessary violence and blind cheek. The favor is to stop now or pool any information you have about the three men. And the toys deal is a nice bonus, yeah?
I could stop the deal.
No, oh, no. Signed and sealed with many mentions of your good offices. You're stuck with it, Eddie. I have to tell you something unsavory to me. If the SAS lot end up in court due to your influence, you'll get what they would have got. Not a threat. Fact. So, no more questions. Don't even go back to old Andrew. We are listening. On the other hand, anything that might help us to our objective would be a feather in your cap. Nothing? Then the message is, go home, Eddie, and stay there. It's too big for you and too dangerous. The police are strictly out, unless you want to discuss why an undesirable character has placed a large order with your firm just to do you a favor. That's if you were around to discuss the matter at all. You look rough, you know that? What I say, and Titch agrees with me, is open your heart to the delights of a well-earned rest, and you won't need open-heart surgery. Keep in touch.
All yours, Mr. Stapleton.
Eddie, thank God, I was worried.
I've been sent home, like a naughty schoolboy.
Well, why don't we talk there, then?
Because Green Park happens to be my personal favourite soundproofed room.
Are you going to sit down?
Yes.
Good.
Do you read the papers?
Yes.
The SAS robbery.
Yes. Not Martin.
My source is extremely reliable.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Yes. It means, among other things, that your brother-in-law is a murderer. Oh. There are people outside the law, or above it, as they like to think, who are going to see that he never gets the opportunity to pull that kind of stunt again. They know that I'm interested.
Do they know about me?
No. But if we were talking at my place, they might.
It's over then. It's the police or nothing.
No, no. I've already withheld information there. All I'm asking for is time. Our original 7 days. So you see, I'm still on the job.
Oh.
Been elected piggy in the middle.
Nothing's changed then.
Well, I'm on a hiding to nothing, so why give in now? God willing, we can get your daughter away safely before either organisation can put her in any more danger than she's in already.
Eddie, give me a kiss. I love you. No, proper one, not on the cheek.
Oh, well.
I knew when I first saw you at your door in your slippers that you were the man I needed. Dependability. That's the word, isn't it?
Well, it's one word for it. I could think of some less flattering, like bloody irresponsible.
I don't care. I'm only glad you're you. But what now?
We've got one angle. The driver on the job.
Mm.
He's the key to it. And if we could beat the other interested parties to him, that's where you come in.
Yeah.
When we leave here, you go to Martin's shops and get details of every vehicle firm he's ever used. Car hire, van hire, whatever.
All right, but how does that help us?
Well, Martin was looking for a non-pro. I know that, but no one else does. Oh, and Elizabeth,
I called my friend in blue half an hour ago. He gave me something else to think about. You're not going to like it. Forget about your sister going with Martin against her will. The police want your sister Veronica almost as much as they want Martin. She was his accountant.
What?
He's up to no good and she's fiddling the books. Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know. Oh, my God, I've been such an idiot. I've been so silly all along.
Oh, yes. Not to worry. Partners?
Partners.
I'll tell you what. I'll slip out tonight and we'll have dinner. Ooh, my treat.
I'd like that. Where?
The Purple Onion in Paddington. It's in the book.
I look forward to it.
Right. Let's go. I'll escort you to the tube.
I'll take your arm.
Convalescent pensioner, am I? Thank you, nurse.
How did you know I was a nurse? I was, you know.
You should wear your uniform. I've always been attracted to uniforms. Or perhaps it's more they've always been attracted to me. Hello? Oh. Hello?
Eddie Hamilton?
What's left of him?
Yeah, Jeff Harrison here. You're causing a lot of trouble.
So I've been told.
Are you still interested in that guy in the photograph?
I am.
It'll cost you $1,000.
That's a lot of money, Jeff.
Yeah, it's worth it if you're interested. There's a lot of people who pay more for what I've got to sell.
Well, not much of a businessman, are you? Sell elsewhere.
Yeah, look, hang on. I can't.
Ah. Now, you do interest me.
That was my last 10p.
Always good to talk to a high roller.
Look, no money, no talk.
Yeah, me Tarzan, you Jane. After the bank's open tomorrow, I can get to you with the money. Where?
Albany Avenue, number 10, Southeast 8.
I'm not taking £1,000 there, that's Dockland.
Look, Mr. Hamilton, you won't be disappointed.
Or set up.
You ask me that, you're the geezer who sets up peace-loving citizens.
I'll be with you at 10:30.
Don't bring anybody else.
Terrible place, Eddie.
I'd go to Brown's or the Connaught, but they're so expensive we might run into some undesirable characters. Eater, my treat, remember? Mm. How did your investigation go?
Oh, yes, I've got the answers here. There we are. That's all I got, I'm afraid.
One cab firm and one transport company. That's disappointing.
What did you expect?
What you'd given me, I suppose. Luckily, I've done quite well. I'd guess that we'll be talking to the driver sometime tomorrow.
No, that's marvellous, Eddie.
Shall we have a bottle of wine? My treat.
We haven't finished the first one yet.
Thought you might need a bracer. The information, if good, is going to cost you £1,000. Try a brandy.
When do you want it?
First thing tomorrow. Yes?
Yes. Won't it be dangerous? I suppose I'd better not come with you.
No, don't worry. It's only like flying a jumbo. Once you're in the air, you can't come down till you find a suitable place to land. A nurse, were you?
Mm.
Why'd you pack it in?
Well, Sophie's father was a doctor in the hospital I worked in. I gave it up after... Well, he gave me up. We all trust doctors so much, don't we? But they're human. He was actually a lovely man, just weak.
What did you do then?
I'm a private nurse now. Any patient, old or young. I prefer the young ones, but I'll take anything on.
I believe you. Well, it's a success.
You're late.
You're lucky I'm here at all, Sunshine.
Come in. Any trouble?
Parking was a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
With that demolition going on outside.
Have you got the...
It's all here.
Good. Look, we're going to talk to my brother. His wife's out. I'll give her the morning off. Well, I'm glad I did. I got a visit earlier from a couple of guys who aren't nice to know. They knew we'd had a chat, wanted to know about it. I don't know how many blokes you've talked to. They've all have had a visit.
Yes?
Well, I didn't tell them anything. They were coming it on too strong. Look, you're in on a big number, Mr. Hamilton. Look, Eric's upstairs, my brother. He's the one you want.
Your brother does a bit on the side, does he?
No. I'm the bent one in the family. He's dying, cancer.
wanted money for his wife. He's not insured, nothing. But, well, I thought it'd be something like a post office job. Look, go on and get upstairs. My nerves aren't too good. He doesn't look too sharp, but he's all there.
Hello, Mr. Harrison.
I like that noise out there. I've lived here all my life. I'm not a sportsbot, nothing like it. But when you go, everything goes right. They'll be building something better. I saw the development in the paper.
That's right. Things might improve. You never know.
Not me. They don't tell you, but if you've got any nausea, you know when they discharge you. You an army man?
No.
Yeah, good times we had. Jeff's not a bad boy, you know. He's undisciplined, that's all.
Did you ever drive heavy duty in the forces?
That's why you're here, I know. Yes. That's why Jeff got in touch.
Oh. Go on.
1,000 I got before. 4,000 after. God help me, I took it. Mercedes van, it was respray, nice vehicle. I had no idea they had shooters. Well, at least, not that they'd use them. I was to block the road for them, help load and drive quick, that's all I knew. 5 in the morning, we're waiting on a B road outside Southampton. Inside information, they said, one of the guards in on it. Yeah, he got his head shot off. It's dark, but I see they're unloading some kind of rocket. Turn it up, I say. And then the big fella says, and that's when I knew he was an American, he says, you want to be shot? Well, I can't do the voice. But he put the fear of God in me.
There's a milk stout there. Do you want it?
Yeah. Thanks. Trying to keep the weight up. No chance. That's what those security men had. No chance. The Englishman, Hawkins, he opens up with an automatic weapon, rapid fire. Explosive shells, I'd guess. While the Yank launches the rocket at the armoured vehicle. It's all over in 30 seconds. Then I saw Hawkins cleaning up. Oh, I'm scared now. Once we're unloaded, I'm getting a move on. It's quiet, but they've made enough noise to carry to Portsmouth, never mind Southampton. Oh, I was tired. We dropped the arms in the first water we come to. And then it's on to Birmingham, unloading a car dump. It's a Land Rover there, and a woman and her little girl. Yeah, that's the woman. Hawkins drives off with him. I drove the Yank onto Watford, left him to dump the van. I walked to the station. I was done by then, all in. I fell asleep on a train. Can you believe that? I could do with a kit now.
Look, I'll be gone in a minute. You say the Englishman's name was Hawkins. How did you know?
We had a couple in a pub in King's Cross. A bloke comes over and says, well, Mr. Hawkins, fancy that. What you doing down south? First time I heard his name.
What was the bloke like?
I want my kit.
Describe him.
Ordinary fella from Birmingham. No. Liverpool. Well, he talked like that anyway. Hawkins as good as tells him to shove off. He shoves off. Why don't you do it?
No, not yet. This is costing me, you know.
Stupid Bert, Jeff, is he? He says we can't tell the old Bill, can't tell anyone but you. What's he getting?
1,000. Look, don't go to sleep on me. What else did you hear that day from Hawkins and the American? The American's name?
No.
The woman in Birmingham, did she say anything?
Nothing. Except to tell the girl to shut it.
Why?
Well, the little girl says, what was it? I want to live in an house. Why can't we live in an house? Mum tells her to shut it, so she does.
What else do you remember?
Not a blind thing, mister. Go away. No hard feelings. I don't feel well.
Thanks, Mr. Harrison.
Yeah. Took your time. Come on, get out of here.
There's your money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks to be all there.
It is. I've counted on your way out. Go on, beat it.
Don't you worry. I'm going to, as far as I can.
Where are you, Eddie?
At home. Not for long.
How did it go?
We have liftoff. Look, I want you to hire a car. Minimum 2 litres.
Right.
I'll meet you outside Harrods in 2 hours from now. That's 3:30.
Well, where are we going?
Liverpool, for an on-the-spot search. And we know one thing. They're not in a house. That could help. There's someone watching my place, so I'm going to do some fence hopping round the back. Pack a case and get that car.
Come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Kuchevsky.
So what's up?
Your friend Eddie's off and running. Slipped out. And Jeff got his in a toilet at Heathrow. Not much left of him. Now, Glazier's boys.
Eddie was definitely seen dealing with Harris?
No doubt about it. And Jeff must have come across with something because the Glazier sent a man straight round to his brother's place. I missed him. He's in a coma. Cancer. The old Bill took his wife, but the word is she's ignorant.
The American?
No, not a thing.
The word's out for Eddie, then. I don't rate his chances unless he pulls a truly fast one. Then we might be able to help. Noblesse oblige. Know that one?
Marylebone.
It's not a club, Titch. Get the motor. We're out of town for a couple of days. Watch some television.
All right, Mr. Kay.
Oh, Titch. Another detail. If Eddie stepped out of line, I want you to be the first to step on him.
Well, so far nothing. Have you any idea how many hotels and boarding houses there are in Liverpool? It's too depressing, Eddie. And I kept having to switch telephone boxes. Can't we use the hotel phones?
We're supposed to be here on holiday, Elizabeth. It's strange enough taking a holiday in Liverpool without drawing attention to ourselves as a couple with a telephone fixation. Mind you, I always found Liverpool an exciting place myself. How's your pancake?
Disgusting.
Mine's not too bad. Look, I've had an idea. I was checking out boats, wasn't I? Wondering how he could shift to gold. Where to? But mainly how? As far as we know, he wasn't persona grata with any outlets that could help him in that respect. All right, take a different line. Why did he need the American in the first place, apart from sheer muscle power? Answer, the arms and connections to dispose of the winnings. Okay, double-crossed the Yank. So he must have come up with an alternative method of converting to cash. Well now, he's in the jewellery trade, isn't he? It would be a question of... well, reprocessing the goods.
You know, I think you've got something. I hadn't thought of that.
If he's opened a business here...
he could be living over the shop, couldn't he?
We'll stop the supposition right there. Eat up. It's back to work. Legwork, I'm afraid. Check out new businesses.
Oh, Eddie, I'm only human. Couldn't you do without me this afternoon? I should be all right with a few hours sleep.
Leave it with me. We're getting there. Don't worry. Oh, your treat.
Good luck, Eddie. I'll be at the hotel. Eddie, where have you been? It's 6 o'clock. I thought you'd be back by
have
now.
Have you got a toothbrush? I brought mine. Champagne.
Well, it's good news, then.
I've found them.
Oh.
There we go.
Oh, Eddie, I can't believe it.
You might as well, it's true.
Oh, where are they? How did you...
Now, hold on, one thing at a time. Champagne first. There you are. Well, the business is Hawkins, the gold shop of the future. Nice touch, that. Registered very recently, just opened. I went there.
Was Martin there?
Cheers.
Oh.
I went there posing as a rep.
Mm-hmm.
Very ordinary place. Very ordinary stock so far. There was only a girl there. A bit dim. But she knew where the warehouse was.
Oh, it's a warehouse, is it?
Yeah. And she's never met Mr. Hawkins. Works under a manager. I said I thought I knew him. Described Martin. Not the one.
Next stop, the warehouse.
Where is it?
Put it this way, it's not in a developed area. Not recently, anyway. You couldn't tell from the outside, but the Hawkins establishment is the only one around there in business. So now I'm a down and out, looking for work.
Eddie, you didn't go to the door, surely?
No, I couldn't risk that. I got the gin from an old rummy. No work in this district, he says. Oh, I said, I heard that warehouse over there was functioning again. Not at all, he says, but they do have a night watchman, a live-in job. He thought that was unusual, but mainly he was plain jealous of anyone with such a cushy number. They've got a flat in there, he says, lucky fella. Oh, yes, I remember now, I says, he's got a little girl in there. Only seen her once, he says. That's nearly it, if I don't want to advertise my interest too much. So I gave him 50p to drown his sorrows in. Cheapest information we've got. Just before we go our separate ways, do they need a dog handler, does he know? They might, he says. No dogs there now. That's something we needed to know. Probably Martin just wants to sit tight on the gold for a while, as quietly as possible. There's one question. Why take Sophie there? Will she go to school or what? Why not dump her with her real mother? Leave her with you?
Well, perhaps she overheard something and they couldn't risk leaving her behind.
No, you think she knew too much?
Well.
That could be it, poor little creature. Well, I'll leave the champagne with you. I'm going to grab a few hours shut-eye, then it's off and out, say 1 o'clock.
I don't understand, Eddie. Why? Oh, what are we going to do now?
I'm going in. Night raid, you could call it.
You can't, surely.
I have to. If word gets to Martin that someone's been asking questions, he might up sticks and run. It's a cutting-out operation. You only want the girl, right? I think I can manage that.
And when, if you get Sophie away, what then?
Try to forget all about it. If the right hand, that's the law, doesn't get them, then the left hand will. And God help them if that's the way it turns out.
I can't quite understand why you don't want to involve the police now.
No? Well, my view is that however good the police are at this sort of thing, Sophie could then be used as a hostage. The way I'm going to handle it, there won't be any incentive for Martin to adopt that course.
I'm coming with you. You can't stop me. Sophie's my daughter.
No, I can't stop you. I'd rather you stayed here, but I can't stop you.
No.
Wear the darkest clothes you've got. Do exactly what I say. No more, no less. Come to my room at 11:30. I'm off now.
Eddie, you're marvellous.
This is very true. Don't forget to wake me.
He's walking there, I'm afraid I don't know. I see the fire jumping.
Who is it, Mom?
It's a friend of your father's.
Can I come down there?
No. Shut the door and get back to work if you are working in there. I suppose it's Eddie you want to talk to. We're divorced, Mr. Wilkins.
I know. Have you been in touch recently?
I rang him a few days ago. He was late on the maintenance.
And?
I got it yesterday with some extra pocket money for Alan. Oh, Eddie spoils that boy at every opportunity he gets. He hasn't done anything stupid again, has he?
I don't know yet. How's Alan getting on, by the way?
Oh, like any young kid. Slapdash, devil-may-care. Just like Eddie, really.
Another broken morning. I see a shadow and call out to try and warn him.
Eddie?
I'm awake. I couldn't sleep with this lot going on. Shut the door and turn on the light.
Where's the... Oh, my God, you look like Zorro or something, lying there.
A cat burglar would be a better description. Does black suit me?
You look sort of dangerous. What about me?
Brown cords, dark blue sweater. Could be worse. Now, equipment. First...
Eddie, that's a gun. A Luger, isn't it?
Water pistol. Had you fooled for a moment, though, didn't you? Courtesy of Young Joy Toys, as it happens. Being a salesman has its uses.
Is it loaded?
As a matter of fact, it is. And in this carrier bag, we have...
Torch. Wire cutters. A catapult.
And 2 dozen ball bearings.
What on earth have you got in mind?
Oh, this and that. And a chance to practice my American accent. Come on, we're off.
I'll get my coat.
No, sorry, Elizabeth. Nothing that might impede movement. We'll get wet, but this rain is a godsend. We'll have to spend some time waiting. The longer the better. Check out if he does the rounds. Probably not in this weather. Come on, let's get moving.
God, this is a bleak place. Poor Sophie. Eddie, I'm soaked.
Well, you stay here out of sight. Give us a kiss. Very pleasant, if damp. Well, here with my catapult go I.
Remember? Smart of you to turn the lights off, but I'll get a clear shot at you sooner or later. Think on it. I'm in, Martin.
I've got another trick.
Oh, sure. I'll be strolling around up here. Come get me. But turn a light on and I'll surely shoot you dead.
Eddie, it's me.
What the hell?
It's me, Eddie. Eddie, got the torch.
You little fool.
Look in here. Look, it's Veronica. She's dead. She must have had the same idea as me to hide in here. Oh, Eddie.
Keep quiet.
I came up the back stairs. I had to come. I got in through one of those windows.
Shh, quiet. I think Martin's coming up. Can you whistle?
Yes.
Whistle, oh, Susanna.
Huh?
Now start now. Don't stand in line with the door.
What?
Do it. I'll be in the corner. Hello there, Martin.
You're not Terry.
Ah! That's right. You go bye-byes. Now then. Ah, let there be light.
Eddie, are you all right?
Watch him a second. We've still got to find the flat, which should be up there. Give us a shot if he so much as twitches.
Yes. Eddie, come back.
What is it?
Eddie, you've killed him.
I can't. He's
dead.
What?
What a mess, Eddie. All such a mess.
Come on, Elizabeth. Pull yourself together.
Hold me, Eddie.
No.
Hold me.
No, not right now. There's a couple of questions we should consider.
It's such a mess.
The one uppermost in my mind is the current whereabouts of Martin's gun.
I've got it. Here.
I thought you would have, Veronica. Are you going to hand it over?
No. I don't think I will.
I didn't think you would. Are you going to use it?
If you make me.
Don't you want to find your daughter?
She's safe now. I'll find her. I'm intrigued, though, Eddie. How much do you know?
Mind if I sit down?
Go ahead.
I don't know how you have the guts to stand there by your recently deceased husband.
Go on.
Especially as you killed him. I'm no kung fu expert, but I should know when I've caused a fatality. Now, you were a nurse. That part was true, wasn't it? So what did you use, a knife?
Something similar.
I really didn't fancy that cuddle.
Oh, you're safe enough, Eddie, for the time being.
Oh, I see. You needed a hand to shift the gold.
Sorry to demean your undoubted talents.
Killed your sister too, huh? I suppose in a way you could call it a heart attack.
Yes, she had it coming. They both did, too timing me in every way. I should never have trusted Martin, knowing him as I did, but Elizabeth. Well, go on then. When did you know, and how much, and have you done anything about it?
Well, to be entirely honest, I probably got a lot of it wrong. I never thought you were capable of... Perhaps I still don't know at all. I took the job because I needed the money. Didn't ask any questions. But something kept occurring to me again and again. Like, no police. The money you supposedly sent Martin, that was a tough one to swallow. But you had to come up with something to explain why you were living in a fly-by-night hotel. I told you the house smelt wrong. That's exactly what it did. The first time I was there, the main bedroom had an aroma of cheap eau de cologne. Didn't suit the house. After we'd had our Spanish meal in Paddington, I went back. Eau de cologne no longer so much in evidence. The scent of your perfume came through. Smells do linger in a house a long time, don't they? Then there were the photographs. I had a good look the second time. It was in the back of my mind. Something wrong there, and there was. There were pictures of your husband and sister there, but never in the same frame. Very odd for a married couple. You must have been worried when I suggested we take a look at the house that first night. You plead tiredness. A frequent occurrence, that. And off you go to rearrange things before we pay our official visit.
Yes, it was a nuisance, I can tell you.
You were always so tired, you couldn't help. You couldn't be seen asking questions unless you wanted trouble from either side of the law, including a no-doubt very irate American super heavyweight. The one time you did help me out was on Martin's use of vehicle firms. You must have had a good laugh. You just had to copy out the companies onto a piece of paper without going anywhere near the shops, where the staff would recognise you for sure, whereas I had to footslog it from pillar to post. You had to keep a low profile, so you dug yourself up a somewhat shop-soiled private eye with the right connections. The budding love act was gratefully received, I'm afraid to say.
It wasn't all an act, Eddie.
No? Anyway, you knew that if I was halfway good at my work, I'd find that Martin's wife had to know about his activities, because she'd aided and abetted him. So you became your missing sister. Why not? There's a strong resemblance. A friend of mine says I like to reverse an argument. I do. Gives you perspective. How am I doing?
So far, very well.
Yes. Until just now, I was likely to give you a chance to help you get away. Minus the gold, that is. Sophie is your daughter, isn't she? I'd hate to be wrong about that.
She is. My lovely daughter.
Well, that's something. That was my idea. Up to a few minutes ago. Give you a chance. I happen to draw the line at murder.
An honourable man. You are sweet, Eddie.
Oh, sure. Do you mind if I divest myself of this weaponry? This water pistol is...
Oh, my eyes! You...
Tabasco! I told you it was loaded. Very painful, I should think.
Oh, you bastard! You might have blinded me.
I can do a lot worse with the real thing.
I think you have blinded me.
It'll wear off.
Oh. All right then, Eddie. You've got the gun. What do we do now?
We sit here until shortly after 1:30.
Police?
That's it. I found a friend of mine called Chalky earlier this evening. Good bloke, Chalky. Ask no questions.
It's over then.
I wanted you to turn out a good number. You'll never know how much I wanted that.
Sorry to disappoint you. I must look a mess.
The rain didn't help.
Sophie is my child and I love her. Can't we look for her now?
We're staying here.
You're the boss. Martin didn't care much for her, funnily enough. He took her so he'd always have a hold over me, I suppose. I expect she's been very lonely here. You will make sure she's all right.
Yes, Elizabeth. I can't help it. That's how I think of you. I'll do what I can. Can you help me?
If I can.
This American, Terence. Have you any idea where the police can find him?
He should be here by now.
What?
He can't be, though. We'd have been aware of him by now. Or you would have been, for certain. He didn't even have to follow us here. I've been in touch since we reached Liverpool. Eddie Hamilton. You're very smart, but not quite as smart as you think. I planned all Martin's work. We finally found the know-how and the finance to fund my farewell appearance, as it were, in the States. Terence works out of Omaha via the Cosa Nostra mafia. Armaments were the problem. What would Martin or I know about that sort of thing? Don't look so nervous, Eddie. If Terence was here, you'd be dead by now. Perhaps the police or the London mob have got him. Who knows? They couldn't have taken him alive. Not Terence. Doesn't matter now if the police are coming here. You see... It wasn't just me who couldn't ask questions. Terence is, well, he's hardly an insignificant-looking man. I like you better, truly. But he's rather more striking at first glance. I was at home in case of personal or business calls on the big day. When Terence called, I thought he was going to kill me. He sorted that out to our mutual satisfaction. He suggested an ex-con-come-good guy as our eyes, and I thought up the reverse role for me and Elizabeth. When he literally ran into you, that was my fault. I thought you were getting scared or losing interest. I knew you quite well by then, you see. You were a real find. We didn't want to lose you. I must say, I never thought that Martin would come up with such an original method of disposal. I wonder where he's hidden it.
I wonder. What deal did Terence get?
35%. I wonder Martin pulled a fast one.
You trusted him, Terence?
I've never trusted anyone in my life completely. It's odd, but you came as close to winning my trust as anyone since my parents. Well, you've won, Eddie. You will do your best for Sophie, won't you? Promise?
Promise.
Thanks. You haven't seen me with my hair down, have you? I know I don't look my best, but if you want to know what you'd be missing, well, that's it. Use your imagination.
Beautiful. And that's...
Yes, this is it. It's a skewer from a small rotisserie. I filed it down myself. Curly bit at the end fitted rather neatly under a hair comb so I could feel secure that it wouldn't fall out at any time. I don't really like my hair up. Do you?
Put it down.
Say, Elizabeth.
Put it down, Elizabeth.
You're a good man, Eddie.
No, don't! Oh, God.
Hello, stranger. I seem to have missed some real fun.
Remember this? Yeah, it's the real article. Now, stand up slow. Dead slow. The idea is that you're going to assist me in the transference of precious metals. What have you done to poor little Veronica?
Nothing. She killed herself.
That's the trouble with the opposite gender. Emotional creatures. Save me some heartache. Even so, I hate to play rough with females.
Where's the little girl?
I have been as a stern father, you might say, by proxy. She's locked in her room. A mite anxious, but 100% alive. Hey, your accent was pretty good back there, for a limey. Give me the opportunity to locate the centerpiece of the action. You know where he put it? It's in a large freezer in the kitchenette. Some folk have a strange sense of humor, don't you find? And that reminds me, no tricks. Have you got Martin's gun by any quirk of fate? Lay it down. Slow, slow motion. That's the way. Now back off. Hey, this is a
water pistol, but this one isn't.
Hey, that was quick.
Had to be.
I never was shot before.
Sophie?
I'm in my bedroom. He left the key on the table, I think. It sounded like it.
I'll have you out in a moment. I'm afraid not.
Hello, Sophie. My name is Eddie Hamilton. I'm here to help you.
Thank you.
In Eddie and Miss Simpson by Roger Davenport, the cast was Eddie, Anton Rogers, Miss Simpson, Carol Boyd, Jacob Kruczewski, Cyril Schatz, Inspector Charles Wilkins and snooker player Gareth Armstrong. Terence, Colin Maitland, Mr. Stapleton and Martin Roberts, David Graham, and Titch, Guy Holden. Chalky, David Timpson, Jeff Harrison, Sean Arnold, Eric Harrison, John Hollis, Alan and Sophie, Elizabeth Lindsay, and Shirley, Helen Atkinson Wood. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.